Good morning. Good to be here with y'all today, out of the heat wave. Isn't this a welcome change from the last couple of days, which were beautiful as well? You know, this is just different beautiful. Why don't we pray, and then we will read our Bibles together. God, we come to you, and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and we see that no more clearly than we do when we remember you at the cross. And as we open our Bibles and read, to remind us, God, that this is your word. It's living and powerful. You do something inside of us when we read it. We ask, God, that you would do that today. You would touch our hearts and draw us to you, make us know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week our story had to do with hope, which, you know, that's a universally needed thing. And today I think we're going to talk about something that I think might be a bit even more universally needed than hope, if that is possible, and that is happiness. I say happiness, and I'm guessing some of our ears perk up because we know two things about happiness, right? We want to be happy, and we could all be more happy. So we're going to talk about happiness. What I want to talk about today is a particular part of happiness, which is, how do we be happy when things aren't going well, when things aren't the way they should be, when life isn't conspiring to make us happy? We want to be happy. We desperately seek happiness. It's like we will do anything to be happy. And me saying I'm doing this because it makes me happy is normally enough of a reason that most people who would question why I would do what I do, why are you doing that? Why are you acting that way? Why are you doing this with this? It makes me happy. That's normally enough to make most people back off and say, well, if it makes you happy, then, you know, I guess it can't be that bad. It has to. We all want to be happy. So what do you do? What do you do to be happy? What makes you happy? A better question would be, what do you need in order to be happy? What has to be going on in your life? What do you need in your life? What has to be going on in your day or your week or your month? Or what has to be happening in your life for you to be happy? Think about that just for a minute. What has to be going on for you to be happy? What could make you happy? And on the flip side of that, which is probably the same thing, what could ruin your day? What makes you unhappy? What when it's pulled out of your life, makes you go, would be happy, but that person, that thing, that... We all need something to be happy. We all need more than one thing. We need various things. Okay, while you're thinking about what makes you happy, I'll tell you what I need to be happy. It's really simple. I need the bills to be paid and have some extra money, you know, a bit of a cushion. I need that. I need to be healthy. When I wake up and there's that thing in my foot, then I can't move it right, and it just doesn't feel, and there's pain here. I'm getting older, so there's more pains in other places. If there's no pain, the pain doesn't make me happy, so I need to be good. I need to be able to look sideways in the mirror and not see much of a gut, which I said that, and I was sucking it in, so it's worse than it looks. I need that to be happening. I need to have a good workout, and I don't need that much to be happy. I need my wife and I to be getting along. I need my kids to be kind of being cool and, you know, acting happy with me and you know, give me a hug. Last night, they both gave me hugs and kisses on the head, which is easy for them because they're tower over me. So that's okay. That's good. When your kids are teenagers and they give you hugs and kisses on the head, what's better than that? I need to have my blood sugar at a good level. I'm not diabetic, but if I don't eat at the right time, so I need to have eaten, and I need to have eaten something good. And I really, to be happy, I need to have made something delicious that I really, really like. I need to have spent some time playing guitar and just kind of chilling. I need to have all my work done, and that list that I make at the beginning of the day, I need to have like everything or very close to everything done. I need to have nothing hanging over me from work, like I can tomorrow when I wake up, I have to do this and this because it's kind of late, and I need my boss to be happy with me with everything I'm doing at work, and I need the projects to be done around the house, the stuff that's on the honey-do list. I need those to kind of be at a place. I don't need anything hanging over me. When all that's, and I'm watching something that makes me laugh, when all that's in place, I'm happy. So I'm very rarely happy. I don't know about you. I'm very rarely ever happy because we need things to be happy. We need things to be right. Our circumstances have to be just right, because when they're not,
Even if everything else is good, but there's that one thing that's just a thorn in your side today. We complain about that. We see that. That sucks away all of our joy and happiness, doesn't it? We need our circumstances to be right. So what do you need? What do you need to be happy? What has to be going on in your life? What's your little list? We're not going to pass the microphone around and let everybody say what their list is, but you have one, don't you? What's your list? Things you need. The problem is at the end of the day, we're not happy ever because our circumstances aren't ever perfect. We don't get what we want always. Things aren't always going right. We don't have everything checked off and the money in the bank and the body doing what it should be doing and not sick and not hurting and not, we don't always get what we want. And so we're not as happy as we know we could be, right? And that's a problem for us. It's a problem we all share because we want to be happy more than anything, but we depend our happiness on our circumstances, and life isn't perfect, so we're not happy. We're not happy, and that's why we always have something that, you know, ask me, I'll tell you about the thing that's making me unhappy today, or maybe I won't, but it's there. We always have something we could complain about. We always have something that makes us unhappy, and today, in today's story, we're going to find out, we're going to see, we're going to look at, God's going to tell us how we can be happy, truly happy, deeply, profoundly joyful, which is even better than happy. How we can be joyful when things aren't going well, when everything on your list of what you need to make you happy isn't happening, when most of the stuff isn't there, or just enough to make you really, really miserable. We're gonna see something that will be invaluable to you and I, and that is how to be happy when things aren't going well. We find this in one of the last stories. Look at the book, find the book. I'm going to say this now, and then I'm going to keep talking before I read there because it's going to take probably a minute to get there. Find the book of Habakkuk. Book of Habakkuk. Fun word to say. One of the last stories we're going to look at as we go through, we've been going through the stories of the Old Testament, and we've been seeing the story, this big story of Jesus in all of the little small stories that we've looked at, in the story of Noah and David, and now in the story of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk. He probably was a contemporary, if it matters to you, of Jeremiah, the prophet we saw last week. And so that tells us that he lived in difficult times. He lived in a time when God's people was straying from God, not just straying, they were running in the opposite direction from God. They were rebelling against God. They were burning their children in sacrifices. They were doing horrible, horrible things. They were living far from God, and they were now living underneath the punishment that God was sending them in the form of being invaded by the Babylonians, and the punishment for rebelling against God. They were living in a lot of suffering. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1. And I know what you're thinking. Whenever we start chapter 1, verse 1, that means we're going to read the whole book. That's the way it's normally been. Not today. Just go with me here. Habakkuk chapter 1. I just want us to get a sense of the suffering that they're under as we look then at something huge that Habakkuk will tell us about how to be happy even when things are horrible. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. They're in the middle of losing everything. And it's a sad, sad state of affairs. And they're suffering. And while all of that is happening, Habakkuk tells us something about being happy, about being truly happy in the middle of horrible circumstances. Look at the end of the book. Look at the very end of the book. There's a song. We know it's a song because the last line is, to the choir master with stringed instruments. So he tells them how to sing this song. Look at these words. The end of the book. We're going to start in verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. He says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. The produce of the olive fail. The fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. He says, even though Even though he says there, he starts this song of hope and happiness, and we'll see it gets there, but he starts it by recognizing things aren't the way they should be. I don't have what I need to be happy. I'm not just missing a couple of things. He's recognizing don't have anything. And he's speaking for himself and for the people around him. We don't just not have some of the things we need to be happy. You know, that list I made at the beginning of what would be the perfect to make me happy when I could truly be happy. It's not that there's a couple things missing on that list. Everything's gone. That's what he's saying. That's their reality. And so he's going to tell us about happiness. He's going to start telling us showing us what it means to truly be happy. But he starts by yanking the rug out from our assumption that our circumstances, that the way things go in our life are what our happiness depends on. That me being happy depends on things going well in my life. He starts demonstrating a happiness by saying, it's when I don't have anything. It's everything that I would need to be happy. And you look at that and you say, well, where do you get that from that verse? He's talking about fig trees and vines and olives and flocks. And we're in Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't have any fig trees or flocks. Closest we get to that in town is some of our neighbors might have a chicken or two. But that's about it. That makes no sense to us. What's he saying? He's going down the list of everything that is needed for survival and happiness. Everything that life is built on, the stuff, the wealth, the things. Think about it. Even though there isn't food coming in from the fields, so there's no food, there's nothing that I can eat, and there's no hope in the future that I'm going to be able to eat. Not in the near future, because when the fields aren't bringing anything in, you don't just wait for your paycheck the next week. There's nothing that will come for months when the figs and the olive trees aren't giving fruit. There's nothing. They're barren. They're either been cut down. They've been stripped. There's nothing on them. There's nothing that now that we'll be able to eat, and there's nothing we're going to be able to sell. Our economy is ruined. My economy is ruined. There's no hope. It's not that I was fired and now I can get another job down the road the next day. There's no money coming in. And there's no way that we're going to be able to make money. And everything we have stored up, so our flocks and our herds and our money in the bank, the thing that gives me wealth, so my house and my car and my bank account and anything that you say, this is what gives me security, that's flocks and herds to them. The stuff that gives me security, don't have it anymore. I have nothing. I can't provide for my family. I can't eat. I can't make money. And there's no hope for me. That's where this passage about happiness starts, with him stripping away everything good, everything that you and I would say, I need that to be happy. He says, I don't have that. He says, even though, and then he tells us how to be happy. Look at verse 18. Yet, look at the words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy or be joyful in the God of my salvation. That's the big idea in here. That's the big idea of this passage. We can always be completely happy in God, no matter what our circumstances are. You and I can always be completely, look at the words in that, always be completely happy in God, no matter what our circumstances are. Happiness in God, not in our circumstances. This is the key. And listen, before you sign off, that's just a Sunday thing. That's, you know, happy in God, and that sounds like a church kind of thing. This is a very real thing. This is a guy who was going through deep, deep loss and had nothing that would make him happy. And he ends this whole lament by saying, but even though that's going on, I can be happy in God. He says, I will rejoice. I will take joy. So he's talking about a decision. He's saying, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do something. What do you and I say? We say, I will be happy when, right? I'll be happy when you would just get your act together. If this would happen, and if this would, and if things happen with work, and if this happens, and when I get over this thing that's happening, and when I lose some weight, and when I feel better, then I'll be happy. But what does he say? He says, I will be happy. He's teaching us, first of all, joy is a decision. And I know you're going to push back on that and say, yeah, I can't just say I'm going to be happy and then I'm happy. I know, but go with me on this. Go with him on this. He's saying his personal experience, his testimony is, I'm deciding to be happy. I'm deciding I will be joyful. He's showing us that being happy is a decision that we can choose to be or not be happy. There's power in saying, I will be happy. I will rejoice. I will take joy. I will be filled with joy. And then the key to being able to say that and for it to mean anything is what makes you happy, what you're saying you're going to be happy in. Look at what he says. I will rejoice. I will take joy in what? In the Lord, in the God of my salvation. What was the source? What was the fountain of his joy? What was the fountain of his happiness? We think that I'll be happy in what? When God, if God's related to my happiness at all, it's when God gives me the stuff that I need to be happy. When God makes this sickness go away in my body, when God makes that person in my life who's being a jerk change, when God makes my situation be better, when he gives me a better job, when he helps me pay my bills, when he helps, whatever the thing is for you right now, when God helps me with that, then I'll be happy. When God does something, I'll be happy when God gives me what I need to be happy. And he says, look at the first word in chapter in verse 18, yet, in spite of not having any of the stuff that I need to be happy, in spite of not even knowing that I'm not even looking to God to give me that because it's not coming. We're in a season when I'm not going to have that. There's no hope for me to have this yet, even though in spite of, that's what he's saying. That's what that word yet means, in spite of that. So it's not happiness based on when God gives me what I want from him. It's happiness having all of this lack and this misery in my life, but I can be happy in God. That's what he's saying. I can be happy in who God is. I can be happy in the fact that I have God. That's what happiness in God is. Look at what he says. I will rejoice what? In the Lord. I'll rejoice in who God is. Who God is. The sovereign king of the universe. The one who governs everything. Has everything in his hands. I will find happiness in him. And then he continues, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. So then he connects who God is with what he's receiving from God, with who God is for him, that he has God. He's saying, I'm going to be happy because I have him, because he saved me, because I belong to him, because it doesn't matter what I have or I don't have in this life. I can lose everything. I have lost everything. That's what he's saying. I have lost everything. But I have God, and so I can be happy in that. And that's where we find Jesus in this little, tiny, little snippet of Habakkuk's story that we're jumping into. That's where we find Jesus in this, because it is because Jesus suffered on the cross and he carried my guilt and my shame, our guilt and our shame, because he suffered in our place that you and I can become God's dearly beloved children. It's because of Jesus that you and I today could say what Habakkuk said so many years ago. We could say, the God of my salvation. I could be happy in the God of my salvation. He's not just the God of the universe. He's my God. He's the God of, because in Christ, I have God. We have God. When we're in Christ, he's our Father. His Spirit fills us. He connects us with the Father. We're the sons and daughters of God, and we will be glorified. We can decide to be happy in God in Christ because we have God in Christ. And his suffering has bought us happiness, eternal happiness. And then Habakkuk ends by taking us to something even more profound than just momentary happiness. He takes us to deep, deep joy because he tells us what the reason why he can be happy in God is because of what God will do in him and does in him. Look at what he says in verse 19. God. So he just said, I'm deciding to be happy in God, deciding to be happy in the God of my salvation, the God that I have God. So who God is and what that I have him. And then he says, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. He's saying this leads me to joy, profound joy in God. What is that, Habakkuk? It's that God, in the midst of all of this lack, in the midst of me suffering, in the midst of my need and my circumstances conspiring to make me unhappy, I have God, and he gives me strength, and he takes me where he wants me to go, and he makes me experience what he wants me to experience. He makes me do what he wants me to do. That can give me joy that is much deeper than momentary happiness, momentary pleasure. I'm in the hands of God. I can count on him to guide me and carry me and give me strength. That gives profound peace. That gives profound happiness, no matter what we're going through. So what does this little song at the end of Habakkuk mean for you and I? For him, it meant no matter what his circumstances were, he could be happy. He could be happy in God. He could be happy because he had God. That's exactly what it means for you and I. It means that no matter what our circumstances, you and I can always be completely happy in God. And when things are good, when things are bad, we can find our happiness in Him, in who He is, and in the fact that we, through Christ, have Him, and He has us in His hands. And the key to all of this is to learn how to be happy in God. So what should we do? We should seek our happiness. We should seek our happiness in God. We should do what Habakkuk did, because this wasn't, singing this song was not the natural thing for him to do, I don't think. Because it's not the natural thing for any of us to do. When things are not going well in our day, it's not the natural thing to break out a stringed instrument like he was saying to do and say, I'm going to be happy in God and sing a song about how I'm deciding to be happy in God. That's not what I do when I'm not. That's not my natural course of action when things aren't going well in my day. So he's showing us you can seek your happiness in God. That's our application. That's what we need to do when things are going well. Seek our happiness in God, not in the fact that I'm having a good day. He's God, and He has me in His hands, and I'm His, and He is mine. That's what my happiness is going to be based in. And when things are going horribly bad, it's not, I hope things get better so I could be happy. It's, I will be happy. I will seek my happiness in the One in whose hands I rest. And listen, if you're not a Christian, if you've never given yourself to Jesus, and you're listening to this, the way that you seek your happiness in God, the way that you can seek to be truly, truly more happy than you could ever imagine, deeply happy, happy even in the midst of loss and things that are going horribly wrong, is seeking your happiness in God by finding peace with God in your heart. It's because right now, if you haven't made your decision to give yourself to Jesus, you're outside of Christ. The Bible says something very harsh about that relationship. It says you're His enemy. You're His enemy because you've rebelled against Him. You can't be happy. You can't have joy in God when you're His enemy. But, all that can change when you come to Jesus and you give yourself to Him and you repent and are baptized and you make Him your Lord and Savior. You become His dearly beloved child. God takes you in His hands and puts His Spirit inside of you, and then you can find deep happiness in Him, even in your worst moments. For those of us who are Christians, we can read Habakkuk. We can say, that's for me. I need to try to be happy in God when everything in my life is conspiring to make me miserable. I need to be like Habakkuk, and this is our application. I need to be like Habakkuk and decide, make a decision, not let life happen to me. We let life happen to us, and we say, I'm not happy. But why? But because this stuff is happening. No, we read Habakkuk, we say, I'm not happy. Why? Because I'm not deciding to be happy in God. I'm not deciding to be happy in God. And then we go back to where I said at the beginning, you might have an issue with this. I have an issue with this because I can't just say I'm happy in God and then I'm happy in God. We have to fight for our happiness. We have to pursue our happiness in God. We have to say, I'm going to be happy in God. And it's not just a one-time saying it thing. It's an ongoing battle against everything negative that we feel because of our circumstances. Say, no, I will fight to remember and believe who God is, what Habakkuk was saying, who God is and how He's working in me, and that I have Him and that I'm in His hands. I'm going to fight to remember that and believe that till I can feel it deeply in my heart, until I can feel the happiness that I'm deciding to have in God. And let me give you a really, really good way. And there's a cheat which you can't take advantage of, so I'm sorry. There's a song that we sing downtown, and it's in Spanish. It's one of the songs that is not translated from English. It was written in Spanish, and it is the words to this passage. And we're going to sing it tonight after the message, and it's going to be beautiful. I'm anticipating that moment. Hopefully, don't lose my voice or anything, because I want that moment to come for me. But because of that song, I have this passage pretty much memorized. I could sing that song, the chorus, and I'm singing the words to this passage. And just like last week, when I said there's nothing as powerful to give us hope as saying these words, there's nothing as powerful to give us happiness, to help us fight for our happiness, than saying these words over and over and remembering them and letting the Word of God powerfully transform us and the sword of the Spirit remind us of the great truths of God and what we have in Christ. Saying these words is powerful, remembering these, letting God minister to us through His Word. And the way, the best way to do that is to memorize it. You have to memorize all of Habakkuk, but here's what I would suggest. Go to the end of Habakkuk. Go to the last three verses, chapter 3, 17, 18, and 19. Memorize those verses. If you say, I'm pretty happy today. I don't need that today. Don't do it for today. Do the work now. Memorize those verses so that the next time when you're at the bottom of the pit and you're not happy at all, You could say the words that Habakkuk said, even though I'm not happy, I will rejoice in the Lord. And you could say the words that he said, and you could end by saying what he said, and you can say that over and over until your heart starts believing what God has said is true about you, and you fight for your joy. We fight for our joy together in Christ. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. God, we come to you, and I think right now we all need to confess. I need to confess that I base my happiness most of the time on how my life is going. And I let the things that I perceive to be the worst part of my day define my happiness. God, we repent of that, because in Christ we have you and you have us, and you are God, and your Spirit is in us, and you give us strength, and you make our feet walk on high places, and you take us to where you want us to be, and you sovereignly ordain every moment of our lives, and we are in your hands, and we can be happy in you. And your Spirit, you promise that your Spirit works joy in us, produces the fruit of joy in us. And so, God, we repent of all the times when we let our circumstances dictate our happiness, and we come to you and we ask you, God, that you would, through your Spirit, remind us when we're not feeling happy, that we can fight for our joy, we can decide to be happy in you, and that your Spirit will give us the fruit of happiness, of joy, that we will be able to have profound joy, joy even greater than our circumstances, in you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In your name we pray. Amen.